please take the precious Word of God and open it up to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 22 through 25 and then a couple of verses in chapter 2 of 1 Peter. We're making our way through this wonderful book. We had a wonderful Bible school lesson this morning and great discussion, and Mike brought it up that what we are studying in 1 Peter is parallel to what being a second mile servant also is. And when you think of it that way, it really and truly is. The title of tonight's lesson, similar to what Gary said in his prayer, what a wonderful thing that we have, and that is the Word of God. Title of tonight's lesson, something to stand for and something solid to stand on. And that is the Word of God. Read with me, 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply, from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and the enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Chapter 2, verse 1, therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. 2020 was a very, very tough year. That's probably an understatement. I remember all of the hurricanes that actually, I think four of them hit the state of Louisiana. I have a cousin there, Kathy Turpin. She lives in Louisiana, and as soon as one hurricane had come through, she would text me. She said, well, I made it through another one. And not only in Louisiana, that was the coast of the Panama right there in Florida. Some parts of Texas got hit pretty hard, even on the West Coast. But what I remember vividly, watching some of the news broadcast, was these waves. These waves just kept coming. They just kept coming, one right after another. And people, after they had put the sandbags down and after they had built the barricades to try to keep these waves, pretty much they just stood back and they watched their homes that they had worked tremendously hard for. Some had even sold their soul for. But they watched their homes just get handled like wooden matchsticks. And then they were carried out to sea. And all the piers and the boat docks and the boats, they were just tossed around like a little toy. And then on top of that, if that wasn't enough, let's throw in a coronavirus pandemic. People not only lost their material possessions, but then on top of that, they began to lose their family members. And right now, even right now, times are still tough. But all through that, there were so many people that didn't have anything to stand on. We discuss this a lot of times in our men's prayer breakfast. What do people do? How do people get through the tough times when they don't have an Almighty God to lean on? How do they get through? And we discuss that a lot of times on Tuesday morning. We don't understand. But what I'm saying is, the times that Peter was living in. Peter was living at the beginning of an age, and times were tough. We're living, in my opinion, at the end of an age, and things are tough. But what got Peter and all of those through at the beginning of that age when things were tough? The Word of God. And we have that same Word of God right here, right now, to look at and to live by. And the same way that God got His people through in those tough times, in those days, He will get us through these tough times in these days. Tonight I want us to look at some things that Peter tells us in these scriptures that we read. He tells us some things about the Word of God. And number one, it is the infallible Word of God. Now I know we have read these scriptures before, but I want us to back up and go back up to verse 10. I want to read verse 10 and 11 of 1 Peter chapter 1. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when He predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Peter is saying, listen, centuries ago, Old Testament prophets, they wrote these things down. They wrote of the sufferings of Christ, and they wrote of the glories of Christ. They saw Jesus' crucifixion, but they also saw Jesus' resurrection. They saw the cross, but they also saw the crown. They saw His first coming, but they also saw His second coming. How did they know? How did they know all of this? Verse 11 tells us, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which, here it is, the Spirit of Christ was in them. Folks, what I'm trying to say, this is not the word of man. This is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all Scripture is God-breathed. Yeah, the penmanship may have been from a prophet or a man or whoever that wrote it, but it was breathed. It was breathed into ever who was writing it. And if God is infallible, the Bible is infallible. If God cannot lie, then the Scriptures cannot lie. Every day, God's Word, the Bible, is under attack. Every single day. It was under attack in Peter's day, and is still today, under attack. And what I'm telling you right here, right now, if you do not believe that this is the inspired Word of God, not twist it, not edit or omits a lot of things, but simple black and white truth, if you do not believe that, then you're going to be washed away the same way that those homes were washed away out into the sea. I'm going to say something that is true, and it hurts me to say it, but folks, there is division. There is division among Christians. There's division among Christians. And I'm not saying the biggest division is the different denominations that we have. In my opinion, only, the biggest division is the Christians that believe that this book is the inspired Word of God, and those Christians that don't. There's a lot of Christians that will take this and they will read some parts that, well, that's not what that means. Well, it does. It is. It's just a lot of people do not want to accept that. This is the infallible Word of God. Number two, it is an inexhaustible Word of God. Look at verse 10 again. Concerning this salvation, the prophet who spoke of the grace that was to come, and what's this? Searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances. Not only did these prophets write this down, but then they had to go back. They had to go back and search it. They had to go back and read what they wrote down and pray over it. and study it to know what it meant. The Old Testament prophets. Folks, the Bible is deep. The Bible is so deep that, and I guarantee you, I'm going to get a lot of heads nodding yes when I say this. How many times have you read over something? And then, everybody knows where I'm going with this. Maybe 6 months later, maybe a little more time. Maybe as you mature in your Christian walk, you read that same passage of Scripture and boom, light bulb goes off, don't it? Bam. There it is. I know, Cindy, she's texted me this week. The same. She texted me this week and said, I've been reading Galatians on so many things in there that I hadn't seen before. Same way with me. The days that we've been off for the snow and the ice, I've dug into the book of Revelation and I've reread so much of that. Light bulbs have went off. But I'm going to confess something to you. It's kind of funny now, but at the time it was not. I remember, I'm not sure how long ago it was. It was probably about 3 years ago that when Mike and I, we met with the elders and we discussed this split ministry that we're doing now. And Mike was going to preach on Sunday morning and I preach on Sunday night. I think it's worked out beautiful. I'm still ecstatic about it, and I was ecstatic at that time. At that time, I was involved with the jail ministry. I was involved with the life care ministry. I was going down to Coble and filling in down there. So I had some sermons in my back pocket. But then probably about 8 months to a year went by. Now, this is the funny part. I thought to myself, I had run out of sermons. And I said, well, I've kind of preached. I've preached through the Bible. But I've got to preach next Sunday night. And I've got to preach the following Sunday night. And the next Sunday night and the next one. What am I going to do? And I'm serious. There was a sense of panic and there was a sense of fear that came in me. And never will forget. We started a series in Romans. I think we stayed there for about 8 months. And then we went to Genesis and we stayed there for another 6 months maybe. But what I'm saying is, folks, I understand now how deep this book is. I didn't really understand it then. And my fear today is not that I'm going to run out of material. My fear today is I'm not going to live long enough to preach what's in this book. It is inexhaustible. This book is deep, and y'all know it's deep. It is the incorruptible Word of God. Look in verse 23 and 24. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through what? The living and the enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. Folks, everything that we know and everything that we have has the seed of decay in it. Now, ladies, I hope you got flowers last Sunday for Valentine's. I hope you did. And if you did, what do they look like today? What will they look like in about a week? They were beautiful, I'm sure, last Sunday, right? Are they starting to wither and fall down, the petals falling off? That's what I'm saying. Everything that we have has a seed of decay. But the Bible says the grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. His word is the only enduring reality of life that we have. It is the incorruptible word of God. It is also the indestructible word of God. Look at the end of verse 23. Well, we'll read verse 23 again. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. There's a lot of people that has tried to murder this book. There's a lot of people that have tried to destroy it, still trying to destroy it today. They've tried to burn it. They've tried to put it out of circulation. And even in some countries, you get caught with a Bible, it would be worthy of death. They'll never destroy this book. They will never destroy the Word of God because the Word of God endures forever. One professor, I love what he said. He's a professor at a Christian Bible or Christian Bible school, yeah. And he said this. He said he knew the Bible was the Word of God because it stood up under so much shoddy preaching. Now let that sink in. He knew it was the Word of God because it stood up under so much shoddy preaching. And it has. The Word of God has been ridiculed. It has been made fun of. It has been mocked. It has stood up under the ones that don't believe it. It stood up under the ones that have ignored it. It's even stood up under the ones that doesn't try to understand it. And nowadays, I think Sheila Brady and I were talking, I think, last week sometime about all the different translations that have come out today. And I'm telling you, folks, be very careful if you're thinking about buying a new Bible. Because a lot of folks, or a lot of publishers, they have omitted certain verses. They have edited, they've inserted. And when you question that, the reason they'll give you is because we try to make the reader to be able to understand it a little more simple. That's the reason. But apparently they have never read the verse in Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19. I warn everyone who hears the word of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, God will add to him the plagues described in this book. And if anyone takes words away from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share of the tree of life and in the holy city which are described in this book. Folks, they are literally playing with fire. And I would hate to be that guy sometime, or woman, that would have to stand before that great white throne and give an account of what they have done. It is the indestructible Word of God. And the fifth and final thing tonight, it is the indispensable Word of God. The indispensable Word of God. Look at verse 25. But the Word of the Lord stands forever, and this is the Word that was preached to you. This is what we preach. This book is what we preach. You take this book away, you might as well shut the doors of the Church of Christ at Fairfield or any other church. You take this book away, Mike is out of a job, I'm out of a job. You take this book away from us, we don't have anything. This is what we preach. It is the indispensable Word of God. Indispensable for what? It's indispensable for your salvation. Indispensable for your salvation. Go back up to verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and the enduring Word of God. Folks, every one of us sitting here, right now, anyone listening live stream, were conceived. You were conceived in your mother's womb, your physical, natural birth. You were conceived in her womb by seed. By a seed, a perishable seed. What does Peter say? You have been born again. Second birth, born again. The new birth. How was you conceived? By the new birth. by the word of the living God. That is your new birth. That is your rebirth. We were born, our physical birth, by a perishable seed. Every breath that I take, every breath that you take, right here, right now, is one step closer to death. But our new birth has God in us. It's got the Word of God living on the inside of us. And there's a part of me that will never, ever die. That is the imperishable seed. And folks, if we don't live it, if we don't sow it, if we don't preach it, and if we don't give it, that seed does nothing. That seed has no life. We can't hoard it. We don't keep it on the inside of us. We sow it. We preach it. We give it. And we live it, hoping that that seed will take life. It's the indispensable Word of God for salvation, but it's also indispensable for sanctification because we're cleansed. We are cleansed by the Word of God. Look at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by what? By obeying the truth. What is this book? This book is the truth. This is the way that we are cleansed. It's indispensable for sanctification because we're cleansed by this Word. Folks, there is no way that we can keep ourselves pure apart from this book. You can't do it. It says we're cleansed. We have been purified. How? By obeying the truth, obedience. That's the way that we keep ourselves pure. It's indispensable for salvation. It's indispensable for sanctification. And it's indispensable for sustenance. Indispensable for sustenance. Come on down to chapter 2 now. And look at verses 1 and 2. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. Now watch this. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk. Why, Peter? So that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Do you want to be complete? It's a simple question. Do you want to grow? Do you want to mature? I can't answer that for you. You have to answer that for yourself. But Peter says this is the way that we do it. What happens if we don't eat? Simple. We get weak, don't we? We get weak. And then eventually, if we continue not to eat, what do? We physically die. What happens if we don't take the Word of God? What happens spiritually? We get weak. We become weak Christians. And then eventually, we spiritually die. Peter says, be like newborn babies. Crave spiritual milk. Why, Peter? So that you may grow. Folks, when a baby is born, It could care less what color wallpaper is on the wall. It could care less if there's some quiet, soothing music playing. It could care less what kind of clothes you cuddle him up or her in, what you dress him up in. It could care less. What does a baby want? Milk. Milk. And that is what the analogy Peter is saying. He said, you are newborn. You have been reborn. You are a newborn babe. Spiritually, crave the Word of God. Just the same way that a baby craves milk. And folks, this should be our desire. And it should be one of our marks as a Christian. Shouldn't have somebody force that on us. It ought to be in us. The Bible is the infallible Word of God, is the inexhaustible Word of God, is the incorruptible Word of God, it is the indestructible Word of God, and it is the indispensable Word of God. Why? Because it's indispensable for your salvation. It is indispensable for your salvation because you are conceived by it. tonight a question to you. Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Have you been conceived by the Word of God? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin debt, for my sin debt. But listen, that death does nobody any good whatsoever until you receive Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord. How do you do that? You confess publicly that He is the Son of God. Then you repent. Instead of living living your life for yourself or your family or for the world or forever, anything, God takes priority. Now you live your life for Him. And then you're baptized. You reenact Jesus' death, His burial, and His resurrection in this body of water behind me. And then you're born again. You're born of the water, which is baptism. And you are born of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. If you've never done that and you would like to do that tonight, right now is a great opportunity. We ask you to come right now as together we stand and as we sing.